Okay, thank you, Ian. That's a No Doubt song really touches my heart to hear that, and it's great to hear that for the first time I've heard it in a long time. I'd like to share, probably to begin with, a little of our testimony, Aisha and I, because I think it's good that you kind of know us a little bit better, and we haven't had the opportunity to do that much before. Thankfully, I have the opportunity of sharing without too much pressure this morning. I remember that a few years ago when I was in a Baptist church in Gloucestershire, the youth pastor, without any warning, called me up to the front, gave me a box of matches, and asked me to share my testimony after striking the match and before burning my fingers. That's quite a lot of pressure with no prior warning. So hopefully I'm not going to bore you, but I'd like to talk a little bit about our background. I was born in Barnet in North London. My wife Aisha was born in Cape Town, South Africa, to a Muslim family. I was born into a nominal Christian family. We met back in the mid-70s in an office in North London. We got married in 77. Neither of us were believers at the time. We began to get involved in an open youth work with a Methodist church in Thornton Heath while I was serving in the Metropolitan Police at Wimbledon and Mitcham. This is our connection with this area, as well as Aisha's family lives locally as well. And during the time that we got involved in the youth work at the Methodist church, we were invited to go to Spring Harvest in 1983 in Prestatyn Sands. During that week is where we both came to know the Lord in a radical way, and that's what turned our lives around through going to that particular conference. And from then on, we began to sense the Lord's firm calling on our lives to work with street children in Latin America, or at least do something. We began by writing checks and sending money to other ministries that we'd heard of, but we soon worked out that this wasn't going to be enough and the Lord was going to require something else. So in 1988 and 89, we did our training with Youth with a Mission in Scotland. We did two schools with them, with outreaches in Germany and Portugal, and finally finished up going to Bolivia. The doors opened for us to go there to do research in 1990. This is a picture of how we looked then. Of course, hadn't changed at all. We went by a very interesting route all the way down to Bolivia to spend a year there to really confirm the Lord's calling on our lives. We arrived there, as I said before, on 23rd of January, 1990. And then in 1991, we began what you saw earlier as the work of Operation Restoration, beginning with just visiting the streets and gradually building to what the Lord has provided today. We are very privileged to be serving the Lord, and it's always at times of difficulty, like we're living through at this time. For us, this will be the longest time we've spent in the UK since 1987, since last March when I finally managed to get out of Bolivia. Aisha was here, and I got one of the flights out on the last day before lockdown in March last year to come back to London with the hope that I would be returning by the middle of last year, or at least by the end. But here we are still in 2021 and probably looking towards the end of this year before we're going to be able to visit. But it's been kind of a life story that where the Lord brings you back to certain scriptures over a time of ministry that he brings you back to in the times of difficulty. And as you see, the background is hope, but one of the scriptures that I come back to fairly regularly is this one from Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And this is something I come back to when I'm in those times of difficulty, times of when you're down spiritually and you need some encouragement, that we need to seek the Lord again, to put our hope back in Him, that we need to understand that our strength comes from Him. It's not in our own human effort. And we need to find our strength in the Lord as we put our hope in Him. And we need to press in at those times. And our experiences, we've worked with Operation Restoration and seen the Lord build the ministry there, is that He will take us beyond ourselves and all that we can imagine. When we first went down to Bolivia, we couldn't really imagine what it meant to work with street children in Bolivia. We couldn't imagine what the Lord would put us through or take us through, the walk that we've been through over the years, to see what He's provided and the way He continues to provide for that work now. And it's been an amazing walk and a privilege to have been involved in what the Lord has done. I was challenged a few years ago when we were still talking about our kind of succession plan, because we're obviously not in our 30s anymore. We're in our 60s and we need to be looking at how we move on. But I was also challenged by a book called All In by Mark Batterson, and I would definitely recommend this to you if you want to have a read. One of the things written in it, I'll share a little bit more in a minute, but I'd like to read part of the first chapter here, just a few lines. A century ago, a band of brave souls became known as one-way missionaries. They purchased single tickets to the mission field without the return half, and instead of suitcases, they packed their few earthly belongings into coffins. As they sailed out of port, they waved goodbye to everyone they loved and everything they had known. They knew they'd never return home. That really impacted me in a very profound way, the type of commitment that those early missionaries had. As I look at life that we've had as missionaries on the field, and the freedom that we've had to be able to travel and come back, visit family, go back again and move around, you can see the our predecessors and the level of commitment that they had, and it really challenges our way of thinking. And one of the things that Mark goes on in his book to say is this: is when did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do easy things? And I think that's one of the things that we can finish up believing, is that if we're in the Lord's will, it's all going to be wonderful and we're going to be living an amazingly victorious life always. Unfortunately, living in a sinful world, that is not true. And we do face challenges, we do face suffering, we do struggle. And that although it's a safe place to be in the Lord's will, it doesn't mean we're going to be in a safe place in the world doing easy things. When did we start believing that faithfulness is holding the fort? Faithfulness, I believe, is to do with our obedience to God's calling. It's not maintaining the status quo. It's actually challenging the status quo, seeing change, moving forward, allowing God to use us for His glory, but being challenged to move forward with Him and not just holding down the fort. When did we believe that playing it safe is safe? If we're involved in the Lord's will, very often it's not going to look safe. We need to be risk takers. But as we launch ourselves into the Lord's will, we'll see him provide for us in amazing ways. And that's been our testimony for many, many years, as we've been on the field now for 31 years. When did we start believing that there is any greater privilege than sacrifice? One of the things that I've been asked on many occasions was, as we share about what we do and everything, is people say to me, "Wow, you've made such a huge sacrifice." And my response to that is that the blessings that we've received from serving the Lord far outweighs any sense of sacrifice. We don't feel it as a sacrifice. The blessing has been so huge. We serve an amazing God, and we don't feel we've sacrificed. In fact, we feel very, very blessed. And then lastly, when did we start believing that radical is anything but normal? Radical isn't normal. We need to be radical believers in this world. We need to be challenged by what God is calling us to do, and we need to take on what we feel is his calling. And it's an amazing journey we've had. And one of the things that we've discovered and learnt during our time in Bolivia is total dependency on God. And all these things listed here come to that point where we need to have our total dependency on God. The will of God is not an insurance plan, Mark goes on to say. It's a daring plan. It's not some way of kind of protecting ourselves from something. It's something daring and new and radical. He also challenges us in his book, and he says, "Are you ready to pack your coffin?" An interesting thought. But one of the other scriptures that very often comes to me as we walk through our life with the Lord has been this one, and that is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." I think the temptation to revert to leaning on our own understanding is so big, especially as first world guys. I think we're told to stand on our own 2 feet. We're told that we ought to be able to stand steadfast and do it the way we should do, and be a man and all that kind of thing. And it's just not true. We need to trust in the Lord and not in our own understanding. We need to acknowledge him and trust him for everything. That's what we found. The walk of faith that we've had, as you know, we work with youth with a mission, which means we're not salaried. When I tell people who are non-believers that I haven't had a salary since 1988, they kind of look up quite surprised and ask how I survive. And it's just trusting in the Lord. And he has provided for us, our family, and this ministry now since we took that step of faith back in 1988 to start our training with Youth with a Mission. We need to depend on him for everything. And that doesn't only mean our daily needs, but everything, spiritually, mentally, psychologically. He is the all in all. If you read Mark Batterson's book, it's called All In, but it talks about going all in and all out for the all in all, depending on him always. And I'd just like to leave you with the thoughts of this verse, which is something I've been sharing with our staff team in Bolivia over the last few meetings we've had, and that's the "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's just such a marvelous verse, and I think Ian has also got this verse up for us a little later. We didn't actually know that we were both using this verse, but it's wonderful to see how God wants to fill us with joy and peace as we put our hope in him. He is the source of our hope, and he always wants to fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him. We need to put everything, all our trust and confidence and faith and belief needs to be in him always. And it's not just that, but it says we need to overflow with that same hope by the power of his Spirit. He doesn't just allow us to experience that hope and joy and peace. It's supposed to overflow from us to a very needy world. And I just like to leave you with that thought this morning, that we need to be overflowing with the hope that we have in him, and reaching out to a very needy world in a time of many, many difficulties and trials. We need to be place our hope more firmly in him. Once again, I'd like to say a massive thank you for NMBC coming on board, supporting the Lord's work in Bolivia. There's a great need there. At this time, Bolivia is going through many challenges through this COVID-19 time. And we're so privileged to have you join the team of those supporting this work. And I'd like to now hand back to Ian and thank you for the privilege of being part of this church family. Thank you. May the Lord bless you.